Second Peter chapter 2, what I would like for us to consider tonight is not many more verses, but to consider a little this particular verse that we touched on last week, just as we closed. Look at verse 7. Speaking of the severity and the mercy of God, His judgment and His compassion. In verse 7 it says, delivered righteous Lot. Notice that word. Delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. Twice this word appears. Verse 7, delivered righteous Lot. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment. That's all that I will read for now. I want us to read other portions. But think for a moment. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of temptation. Tell me this truthfully. Do you know how the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation? It says He knows. Do you know how He does it? That's what I want us to consider tonight. How the Lord, who knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation, how He does deliver the righteous out of temptation. Think of this, first of all, that if you are as I, and you think of what is known as the Lord's Prayer, you pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When you prayed to God to deliver you from evil, what was in your mind? Did you have any definite concept as to how He was going to deliver you from evil? What is so remarkable is this, that having given us Lot as an example of a godly man, he's called righteous Lot, he delivered righteous Lot, and having spoken of delivering righteous Lot, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver not only Lot, but all righteous ones. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. And so He knows how to free some of us from the follies and the consequences of temptations. He knows how to deliver us from that. And the other sinners who think they're going to escape, that they're out of the power of God, it says He knows how to keep them under judgment unto the day, under punishment unto the day of judgment. And I was just trying to think of this. Let's consider it something that we know as the Lord knowing how to deliver the righteous out of temptation. Since we have the first example before us that God has told us of, how did God deliver righteous Lot out of temptation? Tommy, what did He do? Yes. Now, isn't that embarrassing? And when He sent the angels, what did the angels have to do? Isn't that pitiful? Pitiful. But this is the example. Did He deliver righteous Lot? Now, some of us are so little inclined to be delivered that we have to have someone like angels to drag us out of the sphere of our temptations. That is pitiful. I mentioned last week that Lot was in a position of temptation. His dwelling place was there, and it should not have been there. His uncle Abraham wasn't in Sodom. Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah. There were the plains, but then he chose to go and sit in the gate of Sodom. And this is an encouragement to us who at times in our lives, when we are so carnal and when we become so weakened as to a purpose, as a determination to get out of our carnality and out of this carnal environment in which we've placed ourselves, God, in His goodness, if necessary, can send angels, and even though we are lingering and talking to them, and they have to drag us out, still God knows how to deliver. And so for some of us, God says it's going to take two angels for Lot and his family. And think now, there are two angels with two hands, and there is Lot and his wife. Those are the two hands of one angel. And there are the two daughters of Lot. They're the two hands of the other angel. And it says that he literally took them by the hand and brought them out of the city. And I hope that such a condition of soul never occurs to us, that God has to drag us out of an evil environment and away from the things that are causing our souls to be in misery. Now, I mentioned this last week. I told you that the two words, David Moldenhauer, that the two words, look at them in verse 7. It says, Lot, now in your King James, it will be vexed and vexed, but there are two different words. The first word is, more literally, he was sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked, and then it said, this righteous man in verse 8, in seeing and hearing them, tormented his righteous soul. And so we have sore distress and torment experienced by a carnal Christian in a place that he should not be. And what did I tell you about those two words, David? Do you remember? All right. Good. These are the two words that are used of the torments and the punishments of those who are under demonic possession and the torments of one who is going to be in hell, where it says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Do you remember that word in Revelation 14? The very word torment, and that's in the last verse, verse 8, it says that his soul was tormented when he heard and saw the sinful life that they were living day by day. So, you've heard people say, it's hell on earth. Is there such a thing as hell on earth? If you're experiencing in your soul the very words that describe the torments of hell, then that is hell on earth. And what is so sad is that these things should never be a part of the soul and the emotions and the experiences of the child of God. The only Christian who ever experiences such painful, such torments of soul is a carnal Christian who is in a place that he should not be. Now, Paul could say this, I have continual sorrow in my heart for my kinsmen, my brethren after the flesh. But he did not have any torments of hell. He did not have any agonies. And the first word is this. It speaks about a slave in Egypt and one of his oppressors doing him bodily harm. And it said when Moses saw him that oppressed his brother, he killed a man. And so think of a slave that is under oppression. And that's the first word. It said his soul was vexed. And then think of the smoke of their torment ascending up forever and ever. His soul was tormented by what he saw and what he heard. Well, I wonder how he could put an end to his soul being distressed and tormented. How do you think, David? Well, of course. If he hears them and sees them, and that's what's doing him so much damage, all he has to do is what? Move. But he doesn't have strength to do it. And that is why we should rejoice in the goodness of God, who when he sees us without strength, as he did when we were sinners, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. And here is a carnal man, but he's righteous, and God in his extra goodness in this case sent angels, took him by the hand and his family, and brought them out of the city of Sodom. So I hope that when we pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, I hope that we are not so entrenched in it that God will have to send angels to do it. But at times he does. I'll mention some others. Now, Adolf, when Daniel was in the lion's den, do you remember what Daniel said was the reason of his escape? Do you remember offhand? How did he say he was delivered from the lion? Do you remember? He said, God hath sent his what? Very good. All right. So God sent angels in the Old Testament. Literally sent angels to deliver. To deliver Lot and his family out of Sodom, and to deliver David or Daniel out of the mouth of the lion. Now, having mentioned that, I will bring to your attention what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. But now, no angel is mentioned. When Peter was in prison and he was going to be executed the next day, God sent him an angel. But all of these things are supernatural, or miraculous, and I think that today God is not delivering us in so evident, so outward visible a fashion. But the promise is that what God did in Lot's case, he will deliver us. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And if we are trusters of Christ, we are godly, and he's able to deliver us out of temptation. But now, I want us to see other portions of God's word to show how God delivers us. Because it was a revelation when I thought of God delivering, and then at the same time, the other ways that he delivered. So turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I want us to see, in several portions, how God delivers. In chapter 2 of Proverbs, look at verse 10. For wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall watch over thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men that speak perverse things. Now, what is going to deliver us here? Billy, can you read that word? Look at verse 12. Something's going to deliver us. What does verse 10 say is going to deliver us? 2:10. Can you read that to us? Proverbs 2:10, for wisdom, very good, and knowledge, and discretion. And so is this something miraculous? Not at all. What we do is to learn God's ways. Look at verse 2. Incline thine heart unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Cry after discernment, and lift up thy voice for understanding. Seek it like silver. All right, when you do that, it will deliver us. This is what God is telling us. Now, look at verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words. So here is deliverance. not from the mouth of a lion, but from an evil woman. And God says, it is done in this case with wisdom and knowledge and discretion. And this is what it says in Ephesians 5. Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so in this case, it is simply the use of what we have learned from the teachings of God's Word. And it's the application of that wisdom. It's that wisdom taken to heart. Wisdom shall enter into our heart. And then we act according to the wisdom, the dictates that God has set forth in His Word. And when we do that, it says, we shall be delivered from the strange woman, even from the foreigner that flappeth with her words. All right. Now, I want us to see another. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And look at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant was keeping his father's sheep. And when there came a lion or a bear and took him out of the flock, I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant smote the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Now, Tommy, how did God deliver David from the lion and from the bear? What? What is he going to use against Goliath? What? No, what is David going to use against Goliath that he's going to fight in a moment? Of course. And it says he prevailed over him with a sling and with a stone. So, at times, it is nothing miraculous, but it is the simple use of what weapons God has put in your hand. Do you think that it was an accident that David could hit that giant in the forehead with a sling? What had he been doing probably? Exactly. It spoke about left-handed Benjamites. They could sling a stone within a hair's breadth. That's how good they were. And so at times, God doesn't have to send angels. He could say to this angel, stay back, let David alone. I'll show you what he can do with a sling and a stone. But so often we're saying, oh God, help us. In this instance, if we have the means within our hands, we simply trust in God to enable us with what we have to carry out the enemy and destroy the enemy and overcome the temptation with the things that God has put in our hand. And this is what is so remarkable. For the sake of time, I will tell you this other one. At the end of his life, David is praising God and summing up what has happened. And it spoke about David being delivered from the hand of Saul and from the hand of all his enemies. And if you look at that, you will see that on occasion, David was delivered by his own ingenuity. Do you remember when Saul was going to have him put to death, that he fixed up the bed in which he was sleeping and through? It's using your common sense many times. And God can bless that. On another occasion, I saw that God miraculously intervened. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon all the soldiers of King Saul, and they slept through David coming into the cave where they were. So God can use what you have, and then he can work upon the minds of those who are our enemies. All right. On other occasions, God also uses our own personal diligence in carrying out his instructions. Turn to Proverbs 6 again. I want you to see this. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 1. Proverbs 6, 1. Remember, in chapter 2, it was simply wisdom. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Here is an evil woman, and here is Joseph with this evil woman. He simply uses his wisdom and discernment and knowledge, and he flees from her presence. That's how God delivered him. Now, verse 1, Proverbs 6. My son, if thou art become surety for thy neighbor, in other words, you want to borrow $1,000 and you get me to sign the note, then I become surety for you. Do you understand? And God says, if you have become surety for thy neighbor, if thou hast stricken thy hands for a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself, seeing thou art come into the hand of thy neighbor. Go, humble thyself, and importune thy neighbor. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Who's doing the delivering here? You are doing it personally. You have gotten into this situation, and you are going, and you are humbling yourself, and you are beseeching this man for whom you've gone surety to let you out of that situation. You do it, and God can give you success. I recall on one occasion, this young Christian, and someone had come to his door, and had sold him hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of something that he said, what did I do? I don't need those things. And then he went to his lawyer and said, how can I get out of this? And the lawyer said, you can't get out of this. And so, if the man who sold him those things wants to press it home, if he's done that, then there's no way to get out of it. But as I recall, I believe he went to this man and pleaded with him, told him that his family was in great need, some such thing, and the man tore up the contract that he had signed. But this is what God tells us to do. And it's humbling and humiliating, but if you've made a mistake, you don't say, oh God, deliver me out of this. God says, all right, I will. You do this now. Look, verse 3. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. God says, I'm not going to deliver you. You go and deliver yourself. And you can pray to God to influence the mind of the one for whom you have become surety. And it says, you are not to give sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself. And that is what we're to do. You say, well, this is remarkable. I am praying, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And at times, we are simply praying for God to bless our own efforts, our own abilities to make us successful. Now, if this is not sufficient, then God can still send angels, because this scripture is so beautiful. Turn to Psalm 33 now. Psalm 33. Just in case we think that because we can sling a stone and can use a staff or a sword, that we're going to be delivered. But look in chapter 33 of Psalms, verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither doth he deliver any by his great power. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in time of famine. Therefore, when all of our efforts and strengths are put into delivering ourselves. If there is deliverance, God is behind it. And we are never to become conceited and proud, thinking that we are able to deliver ourselves out of any temptation, out of any situation, because it says no king is saved by a multitude of a host. Think of Saddam Hussein and all the hundreds of thousands that he had, but God could destroy him in a moment of time. And so think, and this is the strange workings of God, how you would get those that reject our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Iran, Kuwait, taken over by the enemy, and God goes and gets a nation that names many of them Christ, and goes and delivers these heathen, these foreigners that reject our Savior, but that was God's way of delivering. And so God can send an air force of another nation, of other nations, and deliver you. Or, if he does that, still it is not we, but it is God that is behind it all. And for the sake of time, you'll find in Isaiah chapter 50 that God challenges them, and he says, am I not able to deliver? And that is what God is able to do. All right. Now, turn to Luke chapter 22. I want you to see another way of deliverance. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31. Two things are happening. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Understand that. The prayers of Christ will not keep us from sin if we insist on sinning, but they will keep our faith from failing. All right, look down at verse, or where it is on your page. Our Savior is in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, and it says in verse 45, and when he arose from his prayer, he came unto the disciples, and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, that you enter not into temptation. So we have Christ praying, but that is not sufficient, because Christ says, you rise and you pray that you enter not into temptation. Now let me ask you, did they follow Christ's advice? Did they? No. And what happened to them? They fell into temptation. So when it says God is able to deliver the righteous out of temptation, he is able. But at times, it is our cooperation with God. It is our following the instructions that the Lord has given. Now, let me show you why. When God did the first part in bringing Lot and his wife out of the city, the angels also told them, do not turn back. Do you remember? And what happened when Lot's wife turned back? She turned into a pillar of salt. You simply use the wisdom that God has given you. You follow the instructions God has given. Lot's wife turned back, and the Savior says, remember Lot's wife. She had the wisdom. Did she take it to heart? No. She turned back. Therefore, she failed. God was able to deliver out of temptation. He did get them out of Sodom, but her heart was so taken up with the city in which she lived that she had to turn back. And when she did, she turned to a pillar of salt. And in like manner, such a thought that Peter would ever deny the Lord, so far was that thought from his mind that he said he would never deny the Lord. Imprisonment and death. And the Savior said, you're going to deny me. And he sees him sleeping and he says, rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. And just as the deliverance had been made in bringing Lot out with his family, she turned back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. And the Lord, who told Peter especially to rise and pray that he enter not into temptation, Peter did not obey the commandment of the Lord, and therefore he failed of that temptation. So when it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous, the godly, out of temptation, then he knows, and he tells us how, and he empowers us. But we have to take to heart the wisdoms and the instructions that he gives. And if we do, we shall overcome that temptation. And let us be glad that if we've done everything that we can, then the rest must be left to God. So trust the Lord. He knows how. Learn how God does it, and do it God's way. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that in spite of ourselves, you deliver us on occasion, or you will do so much for us and get us out of some trouble. But then if we persist in our carnality, our refusal to hearken to thy word, then some consequences will come, perhaps not as grave as they could have been, but you know how to deliver us. And so let us search the scriptures to see, and with what natural skills you've given, our Father, guide those skills, and let us use those skills, and let us be delivered out of temptation, out of dangers, and our Father, in those areas that are beyond our control and out of our power, work upon the minds of men, and send angelic assistance, we pray. Let us be those who are delivered out of temptation, who refrain from sin. By obedience to thy word, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.